You're listening to a podcast from 702.
This is your 702.
Let's walk the talk this summer.
13 minutes after 10 o'clock, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining me once again. I really appreciate your time.
Good morning, Aubrey. Thank you very much.
And, of course, let me welcome Shafiq Morton into the conversation. Shafiq, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, morning, Aubrey, to you, and salams to Dr. Suleiman.
Dr. Suleiman, I have had many discussions with you, many conversations with you about your work, both here in South Africa and internationally. And I think there'd be very, very few people that wouldn't agree with the decision to make you South Africa's Person of the Year. Many people have been calling for other accolades to be bestowed upon you. Let me start off by congratulating you and asking you, how do you feel about this, given the fact that on many occasions that you and I have spoken, you've always shied away from those kinds of awards and accolades. How do you feel?
Aubrey, look, it feels great. The country feels sort of about what I do, because what I do is not something personal. It represents something very spiritual, because the instruction to form Gift of the Givers was something very spiritual. It wasn't my organization. I had one morning and say, okay, let's do something, get a founding document, write a constitution. I never conceived the idea about forming an organization. So Gift of the Givers belonged to me. It came by through a spiritual teacher, through an encounter in Istanbul. I met him for the first time in 91, and I met him again in 92. And on the 6th of August, 92, he gave me the instruction to form an organization. Everybody knows that story very well. But as part of that instruction, one of the key statement in the first instruction, within the first comment, because I met him many times thereafter, and he said, whatever you do is done through you and not by you.
Yeah.
I can't take credit for anything, because, and obviously, intelligent enough to know kind of things we've achieved over the last 29 years. It's not possible for one man to do that. And that this person is supported by people who fund at the South African public who funds us, but more importantly by the team that works Monday to Sunday, public holidays, long weekends, who work day and night to do what has to be done with heart and soul. Credit goes to them. They made us proud. And also, we thank the South Africans who've seen what we do, appreciate what we do. Again, thanks much.
Oh,
people have noticed what we've done, and it also, to me, the most significant part of all this is want to see goodness. And in our society, if we can generate more goodness, more spirituality, more morality, and more ethics, we will go a long way to fixing this country.
Yeah. Spirituality is a very big part of who you are, Dr. Suleiman. And again, I was going to mention that the foundation of a Gift of the Givers wasn't a decision in the boardroom. It was, as you say, a spiritual instruction. Did you ever find out who the gentleman who spoke to you in Istanbul, as you call it, all the way in 1991 was? Who is he, and how is he connected to you?
Well, he passed from 99. I met him face to face, obviously. But again, the connection, the whole aspect of this is very, very spiritual. Let's go back a little bit to the back end story. In 1985, I finished internship in Kingswood Hospital in Durban. That was my life's dream. I was a physician. I couldn't get a post, so I couldn't study further. So I was forced to start private practice, and I moved to Maritzburg in January 1986. That same week that I moved to Maritzburg, an Afrikaner guy from Pretoria, who had come from America, also moved to Maritzburg. He came to teach French at the local university. In that week, he met my neighbor, who was a butcher, and I said, look, I got this Afrikaner guy that came from Pretoria. He needs a doctor. And I told him about you. So we met, we discussed, and over a period of time when I was treating him, he said, look, I've been talking to you, and I see your inclination is towards something that I've experienced. So then he clarified his book further. He said, when I was in America, I met a spiritual teacher from Istanbul who visited America regularly. That teacher passed away in 1985, but there was a replacement going forward. And this meeting, discussion we were having in 1986, January. So he said, you should meet this teacher. So I told him, Miller, it's 1986. I haven't even seen Cape Town in South Africa. When am I going to see Istanbul? And he said something very profound. He said, what God wills happens. There's a time and place. In 1991, we responded outside Gift of the Givers, before Gift of the Givers, as the Bangladesh Relief Fund, taking a ship of aid to Chittagong in Bangladesh. As part of that mission, responding to that cyclone, I had to land up in Turkey to deliver trucks to the north of Turkey, to be taken to Kurdistan for helping the victims post-Gulf War. And that was the excuse that took me and my wife to meet the spiritual teacher in Istanbul. And when we got there to the place, it was post-Gulf War. Now, the Gulf War was not good for human relations in terms of religion, in terms of nationalities, in terms of East and West. It created a perception that Christians and Jews and others were against Islam and Muslims.
Yeah.
And it's polarized civilizations. And coming from an apartheid past didn't help. Because you always had the prejudices, the stereotypes, and negative thoughts towards people of other colors and other religions.
Yeah.
We walk into this place and we're in shock. Because we see Americans. We have Americans who last fight all over the world, the Muslim world.
Yeah.
You see Russians who bombed us in Afghanistan. You see Jewish people and we have the fight in Israel, in Palestine. You see Hindus and we have the bomb in India. And you look at all these different people from different religions in the Muslim holy place. Okay, how the hell is this possible? And you look at all the people, there is no friction, no argument, gentlemen, this decision, what calmness, and no friction, no discord, and everybody respecting each other.
Yeah.
Only the real could be like this, you know. And then immediately all the stereotypes, everything left me about being prejudiced against different races and different religions.
Yeah.
The teacher said, keep an open mind. And then the teacher said something very profound. That was before the instruction in 92. He said, my son, mankind is one single nation. The God of all mankind is one. We just know him by different names.
Mm.
Real people of religion don't spread terrorism, violence, conflict, and discord. People of real religion, irrespective of what religion it is and who the people are, they show kindness, compassion, love, and mercy. And he said, that's the real religion. And that's a initial thought that came to me, and it all came through an Afrikaner guy, a Christian guy. He belongs to the NGK church, and the NGK church said, Swart Sakhafar, Roy Sakhafar, and Moses Sakhafar. That was the teaching. And it came from that source that connected me to a spiritual teacher in Istanbul, you know, and it just opened the mind out that everybody is not in the same category.
Somebody's asking, is his spiritual leader Fethullah Gulen?
No. It's a teacher that's not known. It's an order called the Halveti Cerrahi Order of Istanbul. The teacher's name, the one that passed on was very well known, was Zafar Ozak Effendi. The one that passed on, my teacher, was Muhammad Safar Effendi. It's not a big field. It's not very well known internationally, but you have bigger orders that are very well known in the Muslim world. But this one is restricted, it's small, and each one have a different type of personality and different type of mindset.
Yeah.
You know, guide you to different ways. The parts are the same. All of the
roots,
it's the same part, but it's different personalities.
Sure. Let me bring Shafiq into the conversation. Shafiq, you've had to document all of this in 5 editions of the book Gift of the Givers, an extraordinary South African story for 30 years of selfless service to people in need in South Africa and the world. I mean, you're a journalist, you're somebody that deals with, I suppose, the practical issues. And you need to somehow pen these in a way that is going to be palatable and understandable and accessible to people that might not necessarily have an inclination towards the spiritual. How have you been able to tell the story practically, right? In a way that people understand the flow of the spirit in the story, but also the flow of the practice of the spirit in this particular story. Shafiq?
Yeah, Aubrey, that's a very good and a leading question. I have been in a fortunate position in that I met Dr. Imtiaz before he founded Gift of the Givers when he was with the Islamic Medical Association, and that's many years ago. So I've been able to almost witness Gift of the Givers' growth from inside on many occasions, going on many of its missions internationally, covering the story now for 30 years. So I've been quite blessed in understanding that. telling the story has certainly been a challenge, but what it has perhaps made it a bit easier is that in trying to cherry pick what exactly to focus on, it's actually been quite easy in the sense that Gift of the Givers appeals to our basic humanity. It appeals to our basic humanity in the sense that the aid is given in the direct, honest, and non-partisan way, and that the overarching thesis of Gift of the Givers is that if a human being anywhere in the world is in need of help, it's our duty as fellow human beings to help those people. And I've basically just remembered, used those core values to try and inform the narrative. Of course, within the narrative, there are just so many different things that have happened.
Yeah.
It's hugely complex. And Dr. Imtiaz is so correct, is that all of us who've had anything to do with the Gift of the Giver story, even yourself, Aubrey, we are all acting through somebody else. It's not just us. We're the agencies of the
information. Yeah, we're all conduits. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So it's teamwork all the way through. And it's a great privilege and honor to witness this. I mean, I'm just a storyteller. But it has been challenging, but I suppose it's quite easy when you just remember what are the values of the organization and you find it coming out on the page as you write.
Dr. Suleiman, one of the things that always comes up, and you and I have had these conversations previously, is, I mean, after 29 years of the operations of Gift of the Givers, I believe that the number, the amount of money that has been spent in all of the different operations is north of 4 billion rands. Where does that money come from? How do you solicit it? How do you get it? I know that part of what your spiritual leader had to say to you was that just start the organization, and the money will flow if you remain true to the heavenly vision, as it were. Yeah.
But reading the book, you remember a lot of things. Join, both of you should write the book together.
I've had lots of conversations with you, Dr. Suleiman. So, and by the way, I find you to be a fascinating man. So I listen very hard to what you've got to say. But I mean, I'm sure that's a big question. Where does the money come from?
Well, that's the best part of it all. You know, we have no fundraisers. You know, as part of the deliberate policy of our organization, not fundraising. You know, the teacher said clearly, as part of those instructions, when he gave me instructions, it's a long instruction. When he finished off, I told him, what does it mean? I'm a doctor in private practice. I have 3 surgeries in a place called Pietermaritzburg in South Africa. When am I supposed to do what you've told me and when? He told me one line. You will know. And for 29 years, I do know what to do, when to do, what not to do, what to touch, what not to touch. And without me asking, again, it's not a solicited question. He said you will not look for money. People will come from everywhere for you. They'll find you, and the money will never be an issue. And his words haven't gone cold. 29 years, we've never looked for money.
Yeah.
The money, people think it should come from the Middle East, from the Arab world. Not one cent has come from the Arab world. No, every single cent has come from South Africa, from all the people. It started off initially, you know, because in the old days of pre-new dispensation,
yeah,
it was funded purely by Muslims, 100%, because Muslims, as part of their religious teaching, if they don't give charity, God is not in need of the prayer. It's a strict instruction that charity is ingrained in every single Muslim. And we do that from the time the child is born. You know, it's like from birth, you need to know you need to give charity.
Yeah.
It's something that's ingrained in all of us. But as the process unfolded, and as community started witnessing the aid teaching everyone, and as Shafiq says, he's one of the media people who travel with us, and tons of media have traveled with us overseas, and they watch what we do locally. And then everybody understood that this has nothing to do with the religion. It's got to do everything what humanitarianism. And the breakthrough came when in 2016, November, I took a conscious decision to kill all international marketing. I don't kill the projects, I just kill the marketing. And I said the journalists need to focus more locally.
Hmm.
And the first big local project was the Nizhna fire in June of 2017. And from that day onwards, more and more South African society have understood our capability, what we do, how we work. Soon after that, we responded by putting balls in Beaufort West. We supported Sutherland, the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, Southern Cape, with fodder for truckloads of it, millions of rands of fodder. Then we got involved in Bay Zero in Cape Town in 2018.
Yeah.
The drought in Makanda in 2019. And so it went on. I mean, these are just the headline projects. And with that, more and more people started understanding it, and then funding started coming from the corporates which never came before. And in COVID 2020 and the July unrest in KZN, there suddenly was a massive interest from corporates locally,
yeah.
besides the normal growth from schools and universities and old-age homes and pensioners. And a new thing started. People in the bequest, as part of the bequest, said, when I die, this money has to come to you. That started happening. And then the professional guys in business and the medical professionals and the legal guys and small businesses and youth groups and crowd funding platforms all started coming in. And then a new phenomenon happened. During COVID, a lot of companies have head offices in other parts of the world. And suddenly we started getting calls from Europe, from the UK, from the US, and different groups, global giving funding platform, CAF, the American Charities Foundation, Walmart, you know, Ford Foundation, Coca-Cola in Atlanta, all started calling and said, we now want to do something with you guys.
Hmm.
And like that, it has been evolving.
Dr. Suleiman, I'm going to have to take a bit of a time off in order for us to take the news. But Shafiq, I want you to think about this question. As you wrote the book, as a journalist, and I imagine that your journalistic curiosities were also was activated at the level of the questions around funds. 4 billion rands is no laughing matter. Did you perhaps at some point yourself as a journalist wonder how the money was flowing? Did you ever get people say to you that perhaps money was coming from illicit sources? I've had people ask me those questions. I want to hear from you as to how you dealt with that specific issue as a journalist looking into the life of Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman and the gift of the givers. Let's take the news at 10:30.
702 Summer.
Nature's way of saying,
let's have some fun.
More than 4 billion rands has been spent in the efforts to bring humanitarian relief in various crises throughout the world and, of course, here in South Africa over the last 29 years. And I'm in conversation with Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman and Shafiq Morton, who's the editor and the writer of the book A Gift of the Givers, an extraordinary South African story, 30 years of selfless service to people in need and in South Africa and the world. Just really going through some of the highlights of Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman's experience in the manifestation of this great organization. And Shafiq, I wanted to get from you as a journalist the way that you deal with those kinds of questions, because I've had to deal with them when talking to Dr. Suleiman and people asking questions to say, but you know, Dr. Suleiman is a spiritual man. Dr. Suleiman is also an administrator par excellence and all of those kinds of things. But has there been any auditory kind of work done for the finances of Gift of the Givers? Because there have been questions by others who've suggested that there has not been enough investigation or understanding as to how funds flow within the Gift of the Givers. How have you dealt with that question, Shafiq?
Well, Obi, it's very simple. I mean, I'll give you sort of an anecdotal example of how Gift of the Givers operates. I can remember many years ago sitting on a bag of maize inside a Russian Aleutian, and we were flying to Niger at the time of a famine. This was quite a few years ago. I can remember the plane landing in Niamey, the capital of Niger, and seeing that very same bag of maize 2 days later being delivered to a family outside Niamey who was starving and who really needed that bag of maize. I mean, I can give you hundreds of examples like that of where I've seen the stock right from the warehouse onto the plane or onto the truck, and 24 hours later, 48 hours later, that exact bag or package is given to somebody who needs it. So the way that things work is that it's direct, it's honest, and it's accountable. And there are no middlemen taking bits and pieces. I mean, I've been on stories where I've seen United Nations aid, which says not for sale, being sold.
Yeah.
In places like Mogadishu, so many other cities of the world. You will never see Gift of the Givers produce going through that process. You will never see people siphoning the produce off on its way to where people are going to benefit from it, because there is a directly accountable chain of command within the organization that is responsible for the dissemination of this aid. And the very reason that Gift of the Givers has been able to give away 4 billion rands worth of aid, and a majority of that in the last 10 to 15 years, by the way, as well, is because of this accountability. I can remember when I wrote the first edition of the book in 2014, Harvest Aid in Cape Town telling me her husband in Johannesburg, and she's in Cape Town, couldn't move a tube of toothpaste without him knowing exactly where that tube of toothpaste
I've heard stories, Shafiq, about how Dr. Suleiman knows which grain of rice went to which country from a whole mountain of rice. So now I'm very familiar with the stories. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, the other thing is that the reason the money comes in is that people trust Gift of the Giver.
Mm.
I mean, it's non-partisan. The philosophy of the organization, if somebody cries for help, you go out and you give that person help. But it goes beyond help. It also becomes a question of giving people hope.
Yeah.
And the corporates in particular who have come on board, this is Shafiq speaking, this is not Dr. Imtiaz. My view is that they are giving money to give to the givers because they trust this NGO more than they would trust government agencies to do exactly the same job.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Suleiman, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with those questions? I mean, I think when we last spoke on my show, those questions rose. I mean, you've explained it many, many times, but I imagine that when people live in a context and in a country where corruption can be so rife or is so rife, it's very difficult to imagine that there is an organization that is running things as smoothly as you are running them at Gift of the Givers, given the amounts of resources and money that is flowing through that organization. How do you deal with it, both from an explanatory point of view, but also from the point of view that you are doing this so open-heartedly, but of course these questions are going to come? How do you deal with that?
In fact, they haven't come for quite some time now. You know, we used to come in the beginning. And, you know, the most legitimate document is the financial statements, which we have every year. We've got a real increase. We've added on more auditors now, you know, to increase, because the money flow is getting bigger. So we've got more people in, available. But what really helps, with the kind of people who give us donations are not small companies, and they're not giving small money. They have 4 or 5 auditors themselves in their own companies. You go through a very strong vetting process. I mean, you're dealing with Anglo-American, Implats, Oppenheimer Trust, you know, Walmart, Standard Bank, FNB, EFSA, the Organization of Accountant Auditors. So you've got the Deloitte, KPMG, people like that. You have auditing companies, you have big financial institutions and mining companies that have got their own internal structures. The processes where you go through is like, it's like they're doing a CT scan on you, with the kind of processes you go through. And they started, when they come back, and when they finish, they said, what we wanted to give you is actually going to give you, they're now going to give you more than what we thought we're going to give you. And when they keep coming back to you, and the money start increasing, you know, and they start giving you more support, sometimes you tell them, but we don't want the money now, because we can't finish what you want in that period of time. They say, just keep it. You know, and at times, you know, when they give us a certain amount of fee for a certain amount of stuff to be done, and for example, the one that vouchers, we said, vouchers are not going to work in the food parcel distribution. We calculated it from after they gave us the money, what we spent, we sent money back to them. And they couldn't believe that money went back to them, because, you know, that part of the part couldn't be fulfilled. And it came back to it 10 times 1 and other type of money. So even the international guys, you got trust, you got family trust, you got boards, they sit and they scrutinize everything. But once they see the beginning stuff, there's no questions thereafter. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If people had a problem with us, somebody should have caught up for them.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the first one. Second one, the SARS has donated to us. Thirdly, you know, the Auditor General's Office has donated to us. The Reserve Bank took money out of the country, go to a strict process. You can't send money transfers internationally without a report to the Reserve Bank. Every transaction is checked by them before it happens out.
Yeah.
Every money that comes in is checked by them before it comes in. There are strict processes, and we love it, because nobody can point a finger to us today, tomorrow, ever.
I want to take some calls on 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial as I speak to Shafiq Morton, the writer, the editor of the book Gift of the Givers, an extraordinary South African story. 30 years of selfless service to people in need in South Africa and elsewhere. I'd love to take your calls for questions or comments to Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman about the work that he's done. As I said earlier on, Dr. Suleiman, a lot of people find it hard to get their minds around the ability to run an organization for 30 years with the kinds of resources that have gone through that organization, the kinds of efforts that need to be put in place without any scandal. And I think that that's probably part of why yours and the Gift of the Giver's story is so compelling, is so rare. So, and I want to find out from you, after we've taken some of these questions, how you deal with family life, because I can imagine it's quite taxing, but also whether you believe that the values of Gift and the Givers can be duplicated, can be adopted by other organizations in South Africa for the betterment not only of South Africans, but of people throughout the world. But before we do so, let me quickly take some calls. Jabu is in Four Ways. Good morning to you, Jabu. I'm good, thanks, Jabu. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a great work that the Gift of the Givers is doing. But for me, okay, so we live in a world that is not perfect. We've seen even the Catholic Church itself or very esteemed organizations that have been caught in scandals and the like. And for me, I find it strange and a little bit bizarre that in the last 8 years that Gift of the Givers has been operating, like there's not been a single scandal and the like. Because, you know, like we're dealing with human nature. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Dr. Suleiman. My question is, one, does Gift of the Givers publicize transparently annual audit findings, that is to the public, in terms of what the auditors found? Two, in the 30 years existence of the Gift of the Givers, has there never been any staff member, anyone within the accounting department that has tried to commit fraud, that has been identified, that has been disciplined, and that has been dismissed. In the 30 years existence of Gift of the Givers, has there been anyone that has ever stolen money from Gift of the Givers? That is an inside person that worked there whatsoever and the like. And finally, Dr. Suleiman, I want to find out in terms of, does he earn a salary from Gift of the Givers organization? Because even President Ramaphosa and MPs and all these esteemed organizations, they are transparent about the remuneration of their staff. How much does Suleiman earn from Gift of the Givers? I think I just want to have a little bit of clarity on all these questions that I've just asked. And finally, has there ever been a donor that was contributed and only to be found late that donor is not proper, and then what has happened? Have they returned the money back to the donor, or what processes have they followed? So if you can please answer those questions, categorically.
I don't know Jabu, I don't know if it's going to happen categorically like you've asked them, because I've got other callers.
Okay,
but I think that the gist of your question is, have there been any incidents of skullduggery and corruption within the Gift of the Givers, and how much does Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman earn? Okay, Jabu is in Four Ways. Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, there again, those questions are beginning to rise. Are you happy to answer them?
Yes. We have audit the statements every time. You know, we publish it every, we have it every year. It's on request. You know, when people ask for it, it's given. We haven't had requests in 29 years for much of statements. It's only when the corporate companies and some donors want it. But after once or twice, it again. So it's available at If anybody wants, just phone and you get it. No issue. Anybody wants it, we can avail it to you. That's not an issue. We've never had anybody steal money in the organization in 29 years. You know, it's because it's a very strict control system. The auditors have put things into place. We have two internal accountants. We have internal finance people and external people. So money and every transaction is approved by me before it goes out. So there is no money stealing. And with recent times, it's mostly EFT transfers taking place. And nobody has access to payments, you know, except me and the finance people at the top. So money can't disappear. Once or twice, yes, we had some food disappearing, you know, from the warehouses, from one or two staff. We scored it out in the systems quickly. We got cameras. We got feedback. We stopped it, and we haven't had a problem with that again. We do have that. We've had that some time ago. And then in terms of my staff, I earn 30,000. My salary is 30,000 a month. That's what I earn. I've got my own investments for my medical practice that took care of me over the years. And then, what else was there?
Yeah, I think that's the gist. How do you feel about those questions, Doctor?
I feel inspired. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because it's not my money.
Yeah.
It's public money. And if people are happy, we'll get more money and we can help more people. You know, and people must be known, you know, skeletons, things hiding, or you know, people are afraid to think what are these people doing. In fact, we've been told that our salaries are too low, you know, from corporate companies and people who fund us. So it's because, but everybody who works there has come there with a passion, has come there with a spiritual purpose, has come there not for money, has come there to work Monday to Sunday. So it's based on that. So
yeah.
Those things, information is available anytime, you know.
So what I was going to ask you is, for somebody who is so dedicated over such a long time, do you sometimes get offended by those kinds of questions that want to inquire as to how much you're earning? Has there been any corruption in the organization that you run, such that it might even be a question really about your very integrity? Does that sometimes disturb you?
No, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm in an organization that's a public organization. I should expect those kind of questions.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And if I do it right, there's a possibility that more support will come from organizations like he asked, like John was. Can the organization be replicated? We want the organization to be replicated because we can't help the whole world ourselves. There's just too much of, even in this country, one organization can't help everybody. It's impossible. So to us, the greatest favor would be if people replicate what we do, you know, and help as many people as possible.
Yeah.
That takes the pressure off us and at the same time gets more assistance from more people. So actually, I have no problem with people asking us those kind of questions.
Let me take some more.
In that kind of space.
Yeah. Let me take some more calls. Nare is in Blairgowrie. Hi, Nare.
Yes. I just want to say that I'm inspired by him, you know, because I always believe in, I mean, holding the same belief like him. But what I've realized that in this world, there's so much hatred, you know. People, they preach so much hate. I think it's not about religion.
Mm.
It's about you as a person. You understand? You got to understand that you must see a person as a human being first, before anything, before his name, before anything. If you can see everybody as people, I mean, human being first, I think you'll be able to do things what he's doing. But when you look, there's so much hatred. Even the constitution, the laws of this world, they are there as well to preach hatred.
Yeah.
You know, people like him, he should run like maybe United Nations and try to get involved, because I think the world itself, it needs to be changed. We need to change even the laws in this world, you understand? The whole thing goes with the Ubuntu.
Ubuntu,
you can't do that if you don't have Ubuntu inside of you.
Nare in Blairgowrie, Ubuntu, Ubuntu. Suri is in Pretoria. Hi, Suri.
Hi, morning.
Yeah.
Morning, Mr. Suleiman. I do understand, I realize that you people do a lot of good work. But what I want to actually just find out and make sure is the zakat money that you people receive every month from people throughout wherever. Doesn't that money sponsor the Al-Qaeda as well, in the Taliban, in Muslim terrorists? And my other question is, you know, what I stay in Lodium, Pretoria. I'm also an Indian lady, but I'm not Muslim. And we have tried to seek help when the COVID started. And I have to mention the shop. It's called KitKat. And when I asked for help for certain people, they asked me, are you Muslim? I said, no. They said, sorry, we only help Muslims. So what I want to find out from Mr. Suleiman, it's very nice to, you know, do a lot and say all good things. But is it not true that you people I'm mainly there for Muslim. We'll help the Muslim people first. They come first, and they are given.
Let me just for my own clarity, Suri. What has Kit Kat got to do with a gift of the givers?
No, I'm just asking. Do they not sponsor them? You know, in the time of the COVID, were they not sponsoring food parcels and that kind of thing?
To Kit Kat?
You know, to throughout South Africa, wherever they sponsored in some way.
Listen to my question. Mm-hmm. What has Kit Kat got to do with gift of the givers?
I'm just asked you now, did Gift of the Givers not sponsor these food parcels that to be sponsored, to be given to people throughout the country?
So to Kit Kat?
There are different spots where, you know, people could go to and collect these food parcels.
But did they give those food parcels to Kit Kat to distribute?
I'm asking Mrs. Suleiman because I'm not sure, because it was given to different spots. The one I tried was, unfortunately, Kit Kat, and they asked me if I'm Muslim. And I said, no. They said, no, we only have Muslims, unfortunately. So I had to, walk away.
All right. I'm going to
only help the Muslim nation.
Yeah, but what I'm worried about your question, Suri, is that you're asking a question about Kit Kat and not Gift of the Givers.
I want to know what the money that they get.
Yes.
All the money. Very good, they do buy food and they do a lot of good work and stuff. But do they really mean good for other races and other nations and other religions? Or is it mainly for Muslims?
All right.
That's what I want to know. Thank
you. All right. Suri, in Pretoria. Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, have you delivered parcels to be delivered by Kit Kat? And do you give them a mandate to deal only with Muslims?
Well, ask the countries that answer that question themselves. Ask your callers and ask them, would you help Muslims only? 99% of the assistance in this country goes to people who are not Muslim.
Yeah.
Look at all, 600,000 food parcels have been distributed by us directly to all the rural areas, urban areas in various provinces. All the disaster aid that we do, 99% of the aid in this country goes to people who are not Muslim.
Did you give Kit Kat food parcels to distribute?
No, that was their own money. I'm aware of those food parcels. I know they had funders from within themselves, and they did distribute food parcels themselves. It's got nothing to do with us. We buy our stuff directly from manufacturers. We pack it ourselves and we deliver it ourselves. That's the way we operate. We do everything ourselves. You know, we don't give anybody else to do our food parcels or anything for that matter. The only exception we made was during the July unrest when we couldn't get to hungry people so fast, so quickly. So people that we knew on the ground came with their trucks to fetch stuff from us, or we sent stuff to them unpacked, not in normal packages that we do for food parcels, and got them and the volunteers to do it quickly because you can't make people 1 month when hungry. So in that way, we could deliver, 30,000 to 40,000 food parcels in a very short space of time per week.
Why do you think Suri would connect Gift of the Givers with Kit Kat?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No, because we're well known, so maybe they think because we have so many people, maybe she thinks we gave them the food parcels. Yeah. I have no idea.
I think Suri wanted to say something, and she sort of disguised it as a question, but I think she's got a specific thing that she wanted to say that she disguised as a question. And I think what she wanted to say was, do you support organizations like the Taliban, like she mentioned Al-Qaeda. Do you?
No, because as I said, every transaction is controlled by the Reserve Bank.
Yeah.
And when it goes out, it's checked by the U.S. banks, by the European banks, every single transaction. We make absolutely sure. And in most cases, the money goes to our own accounts.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of the stuff is bought. It's in kind. It's not in goods. It's not in money.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to clarify this thing.
Yeah,
it's good.
Sure.
Because they're transferring the gift for the givers accounts, and then they checked, and we informed the governments of those countries where we operate.
Sure.
What we do. And we check that and do. We go out of our way to get people to watch what we do.
Yeah, yeah. Thabang in Kagiso, hi.
Good morning, Mr. Aubrey Masang.
Yeah, good morning to you, Thabang.
Yes, I've been listening to Dr. Suleiman many, many times.
Yes.
Seven on two.
Yeah.
I would like to congratulate Dr. Suleiman and his team, as well as the 702 team, you know. Now, I've got also the foundation. I've assembled a team of young ladies. I'm the oldest in the organization, you know. So we've been helping people also, you know, different people. And next year, we have also a challenge. We've got people, the student who doesn't afford to pay their studies, and others, they can't even pay for their uniforms, you know. So, and other, we've got other challenges, you know. So we would like to, how can we get assistance from the gift of the givers?
Tabang in Kagiso. Let me leave it there. Tabang in Kagiso. Abdul is in Johannesburg. Hi, Abdul.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks, man. Good, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, I must say you're an inspiration, a role model, a flag bearer. And congratulations on how you humbly accepted your award. You know, it's the qualities of integrity, you know, compassion, and you talked about mercy and peace, and the accountability that you shared so relevantly now on is what we, as South Africa, is much needed in our Rainbow Nation. And my question to you is, how can we, as South Africans, wake up with a hand that is open like you and not closed, and to take a hand that is open to giving and not receiving? How can we wake up? What is the risk?
Yeah, beautiful.
Wake up every morning that can inspire us and maybe create a new South Africa, because I also know that you and many of the organizations, like the lady mentioned, Kit Kat, contribute not only to Muslims but to people all the races. So keep up the work. And my question is, what is this recipe
Sure. Abdul, thanks very much. And many, many such questions coming through, Dr. Suleiman, in 30 seconds. How do you do it? And the fact that your organization is so well run is really attributable to you as an individual and your prowess. Is there some sort of succession plan? And will the person that you've thought to follow after you be able to handle some of these difficult issues that are being raised? You've got two families, you're married to two wives. How is this impacting your family life? I suppose those are some of the questions that are coming through.
Well, the teacher, in one of the initial messages, again, he told me you need to have a balance. One third for yourself, one third for your family, and one third for your work. And every time I went to him, I said, teacher, this thing doesn't work. Four-thirds of the thing goes to the work. Nothing comes to me, nothing goes to the family. I'm not the one that creates the disasters. I'm not the one that creates the bombs. I'm the one that has to respond to it. So he smiled. The families have understood the kind of work. You know, they've traveled with me. They've been to disasters. All of them have inclination towards helping, towards disasters. So it's all, everybody have understood, yes, it's a bomb. This time is never available. Even on holiday, I'm busy working. And you can get, you know, but they understand it's about service to people. And they understand, they met the teacher, they understand what it's all about. In terms of succession, we've been planning for that for quite some time. We've been bringing people in. We've been making every division self-sufficient. And each division trains people within the division so that they can actually run everything like the way I run it. But each division can work fully on its own. And, of course, the final say will come from spiritual teachers. Like I got appointed, the spiritual teacher will send, you know, it'll come through a spiritual guide. What happens, it's the same way in the spiritual order. When a Sufi master passes on, by inspiration, the next master is appointed. It'll happen the same way.
Yeah.
Of course, the personality may be different. The way of approach may be different, but the essence will be the same. We do the same kind of work, honesty, integrity, sincerity. We have to do it in that way. In terms of the other question you asked, in terms of how can I change, ask people, you know, to be open giving, that's a personal thing. I can't force people to be, or, you know, give, and how much they give or they can't give. It's something that we have to inculcate, like we inculcate it in our children. But every human being is different. Some are minority, some are extremely generous, some learn in time. The COVID opened up the hearts of many people. People said, you know what, we were not giving, you know, and we suddenly saw the difficulty of people when we ourselves had hardship. It came as a message to them. They took the lessons. They became generous. One man said, I give you, you know, 2,500 last year. And this year, I had no income.
Dr. Suleiman, we've run out of time. I'm so sorry. We've run out of time. So sorry that that is the case. But I want to thank you. And I'm sure we're going to meet sometime soon once again to have these conversations. Thank you for your generosity, even in the face of questions that, that perhaps might not have been necessary. Shafiq, how do we get the book?
Yeah, the book's available at exclusives, all bookshops. It's online. It's available. It's everywhere. It's selling fast.
Yep.
So
go get your copy.
Get your copy. Before
Shafiq Morton, I want to thank you very much. Got to stop you.